music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning and welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, campus and community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded lands of the Coast Salish people. I'm Robin, and I'm with you as your host today. I hope you can stick around because I've got a really great interview with Vancouver-based author and entrepreneur Deb Drummond coming up in the show. Deb's just released an anthology on sisterhood and women's empowerment called Mission Accepted, and we'll hear all about that. To get us started, though, we're going to hear a song from the band The Star of Ishtar off of Venus Invicta. This is called Made of the Fire and just gets us a little bit in the mood for being made of the fire here on Intravenous.
Made of the fire, the last. Deb Drummond is a Vancouver-based author and entrepreneur who has recently completed a monumental project of publishing Mission Accepted, 262 Women Entrepreneurs, Ultrapreneurs, Creatives, and Media, Rock Legacy, and Tell All, an anthology of sisterhood and women's empowerment. And she joins me to talk about the project. Welcome, Deb.
Oh, thank you, Robin. What a pleasure to be here. Fantastic. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn more about this and, you know, what it means to be out in the world. You know, I've given our audience a very sort of crude synopsis of the project or the book, but can you, you know, elaborate in your own words about what Mission Accepted is and what it sets out to do?
Absolutely. Well, Mission Accepted in general is the name of my company. And the reason why, and it really took quite a time to think about that and why we applied it and actually put it to the book, is because the media company that has produced this book, which is our book, really celebrates when people go, okay, I'm in. I may not understand the mission. I've got a message. Someone's talked me into it. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to do it part-time, side time. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to join this. Like, we all make a decision to take on the mission. And for the most part, it's a very progressional decision making. Oh, well, that might be kind of neat. That might be kind of cool. And at some point, there's a yes that is louder than all the other reasons not to. And so you decide to take the mission. So it's kind of like you accept the mission. The book is full of 262 women that at some point decided to take on the mission. And they're self-funding, they're profit businesses, they're non-for-profit businesses. And we also included at least a dozen women that no one knew were going to be in the book, that have been passed over for at least, you know, they've been on the other side, we'll say, for at least 100 years. And women don't know who they are, yet they were critical in things like science and politics and mathematics and changing in the world. Kind of like, best way to put it is people go, well, what kind of women are they? I'm like, ever hear about Einstein's wife? They're like, no. I'm like, they're those kind of women. And so it was women with gumption. And so it was just like saying yes to the mission. And then what does that look like? And how does that unfold? And it was a get to know these women. That's what the book was all about. Like, tell all and see their mission. And you'll see when you look at the book, it's not like a biography of what someone's done in their life. It's not a resume. It's not a bio. On one page, there was no talk about their project. It was, this is who I am. This is the next pages. This is what I do. And I'm going to give you a lifestyle shot. Not a, you know, accounting shot, not a, I'm going to put this in a brochure shot, just a lifestyle shot of how I play out in life, so that there's a large level of relatability, because it's women like me and you walking around doing cool things, saying yes, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that, that explanation of Mission Accepted and, you know, saying yes to the things that we're called to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how that rolls out in unexpected ways that you can look back on in hindsight and go, oh yeah, I did say that. I did say yes to that. And here I am.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, how did this happen? Oh, that's right. I signed up. Oh my.
Yeah. And so you spoke a little bit about the seed of inspiration for the project, but do you want to elaborate a little bit more on, you know, what was the real burn there?
Okay. So I'm going to try to keep this tight because it's so lengthy. They're going to shoot the video so people can see it in its entirety. And I'm like, I'm going to use that video everywhere because it's obviously one of the major questions that people want to know is like, who would do this? And I'm like, I have no idea, because it really started quite seedling. Like, I was running a private health business in Vancouver. It had nothing to do with media. I hadn't even opened a media company yet. And I was literally before the years of Google, I had a woman's day planner and I loved it. You know, when you're attached to something, I was like, ooh, it was like, and it went out of print and I went to bookstore and it went out of print and there was no Google. So I said quietly in my mind, and it was a planner and it was for women and it was beautiful black and white photography. I mean, it just made an impression upon me. And I said, I'm going to do one of these one day. Okay, sure, whatever. I'm going to do laundry when I get home too. Seriously, that's how much of a profound, you know, I was like, ooh, it wasn't like, oh, angel singing. Okay. That was when I was 31. Just to give scope, my daughter's 31. So we won't go into details, but you kind of get it. The first year that our world was in a bit of a health situation, I was going for a walk on my own to go meet my girlfriend for our one weekly walk. And literally I was crossing the Burr Street Bridge. And as offside as this may sound to people, I literally heard the words, it's time. Just heard the words, it's time. Now, between 31 and that day, I had built a media company to create an exposure model for all my self-funding sisters, because I'm heading into my 32nd year of entrepreneurship, for them to understand media. Because I understand media, and by nature, media can be really complicated. So I teach media, and I get people on stages, and I get them in books and anthologies so they can open and let people know about what they're doing in the world. So that wasn't too far off course, but I heard, it's time. Now, the message that I heard was quite interesting. I heard, do a marathon, donate the money to the music industry, Amnesty International, and do it in Ireland. Now, I know it has nothing to do with the book. So that was an instant download. And I'm like, what? Like literally my head was spinning. 30 days after that, I called my publicist and I got, it's time. And she's like, for what? I said, you know, this woman's book I've been yakking about forever. She goes, yeah, I think we all do. I said, it's time. She's like, glory, hallelujah. Now, we had just finished doing a book of 22 women and 5 couples in a specific business. And it had, honestly, we had 141 million media impressions. It was insanity how successful it was. So when you're coming off a run, it's super easy to say hi. I suggest don't do it because this might happen to you. I said, Daryl, let's do it. She's like, absolutely. That's great. How many women do you want in this project? And I said, okay, I'll let you know tomorrow. So I teach meditation. So I know enough to go meditate. So I meditated. Went to sleep, woke up, and I heard 262. And I was like, no, no, thank you. I have free will. And that's a big no. The next day I did it again. I heard 263. I'm like, wrong direction. The next day I went to text my girlfriend, how are you? And the number is 262. Now that might sound side off for some people, but I can't make it, then it's not truth. So I texted my girlfriend and I said, it's 262. She's like, no, it's not. I said, I've been fighting for 3 days. Let's do this. Let's go. That's really how it started. And then the summits came a little later. I'll just complete that. We were working for a year. I wanted to create a book that women showed all of themselves, right? The personal, the business, and do it in a nice full cover spread. So we come up with the formula, the reason, the why you get up in the morning and start talking to women. And then about a year after that, because there's summits that was attached to this, and still now the movement continues with summits. And I was sitting on my late night couch office, and if anyone's an entrepreneur, they know what I'm talking about. I don't know, 9 o'clock at night doing my thing. And Netflix is on in the background. I'm not even watching it. And all of a sudden I look up and you know, then when they send you movies, like, you've watched movies like this, you should watch this one too. Okay. So I look up and there's a movie on my screen called Seeing All Red. And I'm like, I don't know the movie, but in my head, I'm like, ooh, it's got Steinem all over it. I'm not in the mood. Now, I love Gloria. I mean, it was a highlight for my life to meet her. If you don't know who she is, she's, you know, quite active, I would say, in the women's movement. And I was just like, you know, and I put my head down. And again, I heard, we've sent it 3 times. Watch the damn movie. Now, I just want to let people know this doesn't happen to me every day. I'm not like walking around, you know, dialed in. But so I watched the movie, and ironically, Gloria Steinem was in it, and it was the life story of Gloria Allred, whom, in full transparency, I did not know the impact that she had made on accessibility for women and women's rights. So at the end of the movie, I said, if you can do that, I can do more. And the next day I watched the movie again in silence, and out started pouring that we need to remember International Women's Day. It's become a bit of a Facebook posting day. A lot of women are like, hey, sister. And then we go do the same thing we did the day before. It's not a lot of solidarity. And honestly, I don't wake up International Women's Day and feel like I have the world at my back either. And I'm like, let's change that. And the message was really clear. Get women to honor International Women's Day the way a mom does Mother's Day. Be accessible and be global. I'm like, well, those two things don't really work. Because to get women global costs a lot of money, and to be accessible means free. Like if I'm going to have women in Kenya, which we do, come and listen to these summits, you have to be accessible anyway. It has been just an incredible ride. So this book that we're talking about today has literally been told to the market and shared through free global summits as of March 2023. And on the eighth day of every single month, we had a collection of incredible women. And some of them are in the book and some not. And celebrities step up and share 20 minutes of gumption and invite women to be inspired. And it was for women and those that support women. So it was like open to anyone that wanted to come and hear these women, what they had to say. And to date, we've had 191 million media impressions, 5,000 women come and be inspired, and we'll roll over and stream it to 350 million. And it's turned into a movement. And that's what I mean by, like, first of all, be careful what you say yes to. And second, I couldn't have seen this coming. And third, yes, it's completely taken over our lives. That's a long story. And I tried to make it tight, and there's all sorts of juicy stuff in between, but truly that's how it came to be. Yeah. I know. That's it.
With a gumption of its own.
Yeah, with a gumption of its own, right? And yeah, there's the story.
The 262 women, which agreed, that number seems ginormous, right?
Yes.
When you think about just who are those people and where do they come from and how do I find them and how do I determine who's in and not, right? What was your process for determining who got featured, and did you have criterion that you used to help curate the material in the book? And
yes. To answer that question, this is where the many hours came into the project, because, you know, when people do books and summits, a lot of times they do application process. You know, people need to apply and send in criteria and da 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 da. For me, I'm a conversation over application. And the reason why is I think it's super important to get to know people. Like this is first of all, clearly I believe in, you know, having an alignment to the project, making sure that when you have 262 people, men or women, you want to make sure that that community is in alignment with each other. So for me, it was a lot of conversations. And so the word went out. I mean, I have 30 years behind me in entrepreneurship. So the word started to go out that we were looking for women that wanted to be part of this project. And we just kept putting the word out everywhere we could. I know women in music. Well, I know women in music, but I know women, obviously, Rhoda. We just put the word out there. And so did my publicist that we were looking. And I put it out on my socials and LinkedIn and all of that. So I'm already in that arena. And so we just kind of turned the volume up and honestly started hitting the phones with women that we wanted, that we saw. I was asking for referrals. I was asking to be put together. I was creating JV relationships with people. And then, you know, people, like I had one today, a woman like, hey, it's time for me to step up. The summits are called Stand Up, Speak Up, and Show Up. Yes, you. So someone's like, it's time for me to step up. I'd like to, you know, meet you tomorrow. I don't know who she is. She came as a referral, obviously. And then we have a conversation. And I think it's important to be vetted. Like they need to know that we're the right platform for them as we are vetting them to see if it's in alignment. And honestly, as tedious as that has been, and it's tedious because we also had 400 speakers. It has proven to be the best route because there's kind of a standard. So a woman, I needed to know her level of ability of speaking and a level of ability of writing. These women are predominantly entrepreneurs. They can put their words into what it is they need. So we had all sorts of infrastructure for helping and coaching and supporting, and we did their media sheets and all sorts of things. So they didn't have to come full intact. They just had to come ready, qualified, willing to participate, having a message to share. They had to align with why we were doing this. This is at its core a solidarity project to give world access to the accessibility of International Women's Day and remembrance. So that was super important. I would say that was our most important criteria, is if they aligned with that. So, you know, a lot happens when you meet people in person, you know, by Zoom or what have you. And I'd say that she, you know, they knew right away and we knew right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like a very feminine, energetic way to go about things, right? Where it's not just about the words on the page and that you can say the right things and, you know, fill out the application in a way that, you know, provides merit. But that, you know, there's this feeling in your gut that, mm-hmm. you know, whether or not someone shows up and they feel a little messy or, you know, raw or whatever, that wouldn't necessarily land you a job, could be the right quality that actually sort of classifies you as having gumption.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because those two things are not the same.
No. No. This was women that were willing to, I mean, share whatever it is that they wanted to share. But also there's a large community behind. So some women really wanted to participate in the community, the speakers and the authors, and be part of a community of women that were looking to have elevation in their message. And so that was important for them to note. And that was important for us to note. And what were they writing? And it was important for us to, like, this really is letting people in on a little bit of who you are. You don't have to put all your, you know, issues or concerns about your life there, but just letting people have that inside. So for people that were looking more for business reasons, like I just almost like I was wanting to do a brochure or more of a directory, they got that very clearly that we weren't going to be that yet. It was going to drive people to their business and project in a different way. So things like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to Deb Drummond, who is a Vancouver-based author and entrepreneur and is just in the process of releasing this massive project called Mission Accepted. And we are talking about that today. We're going to have a listen to one of the songs that you brought before we get on to my next set of questions here. Do you want to introduce what we're going to hear, Deb?
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought what a great song to, I mean, there's so many incredible women in music. I mean, you know, just, I mean, being a Canadian, I mean, Sherry Ulrich came on and spoke, she came on and shared on our summit. And, you know, Darby Mills and Julie Brown and Dee Lippinwell and Sarah Smith and all these incredible, you know, women in music, particularly, you know, Canadian women in music. But you know, every summit that we did, there was 22 of them in 15 months. Every summit we did, I took the time to send out a powerful song to all of the speakers and all of the women before we hit the day. Some of the days were 12 to 14 hours on the screen. And I saved one to the very end that I thought really encompasses every generation. The words carried through. And it was powerful, but softly impacting. And that was, you know, I am woman from Helen Reddy. And I think that was just, that really encompassed everything that we were looking to do and looking to achieve, because that song to me is very much the evolvement of being a woman and just wanting to make a change and a difference, whatever that is, whatever, how big, however small. I mean, we did play a lot of Aretha Franklin, you know, Respect, absolutely. That was through it too. But this one was just more, I loved it because it was more personal and it just felt more individual. And she's just such a soft-spoken singer. The other song, would you like me to tell you about the other song that we...
No, let's hear the Helen Reddy. And then
okay,
we'll,
let's do that one. Okay.
We'll do that. So here is I Am Woman on Intravenous.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa.
That song never gets old, really. I remember it from, you know, when I was a younger person, and always feeling like it was really, it's such a power anthem, you know?
It is. Yeah, it really lands for everybody.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, even considering the fact that it's, 35, 40 years old, mm-hmm. At this point, its resonance hasn't lost, which in some ways, I guess, is unfortunate, but.
Yeah, when you think about it. So just hopefully we're applying it to the next level. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you know, when she was singing it then, and if anyone looks up the video, you'll see it, right? You know, skinny little microphone and very soft hues, and she's on the stage by herself. You know, there's not like, you know, you're not getting the laser show or anything. But hopefully how we take her words and apply it to now is very evolutionary. But, you know, I'm gonna say one of the biggest things, and we bring it up in every summit and remind women, because no matter where we are at different levels of accessibility. And I said, you know, sometimes, like, you know, we've had some pretty considerate people come and decide to speak or be on the book and give their time and energy. And they're the message, some women just came in because, you know, wherever we are listening to this, we have our own, you know, we've made our way to a certain point. Maybe we have further to go. But then there's countries where they still can't say International Women's Day. They can't tweet. They cannot make a tweet or a post or what have you about women in relationship to empowerment. Like, they're actually. And so I think when you hear a song like hers and how it still continues and it needs to continue, I think when we look at geographically speaking where women are at, it is still so vast. It is still so vast. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing us to the global perspective there, because that's for sure the case.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, yeah, some women got involved in the project just because of that. They're like, I've never really given back to International Women's Day. Like, they're like, I've done stuff and I've said stuff and I've posted stuff and I've, like, hey sister, you know, like, I've done that or bought myself flowers or took myself out for lunch or whatever, but I never really did anything for it from a global standpoint. So from that standpoint, I'm going to come into the book. From that standpoint, I'm going to, you know, pay it back or pay it forward or come on the stage, even though I'm going to throw up before I go on because I'm so nervous. Like, people put themselves through some tough stuff to be in an exposure. You know, a lot of times we like to keep that stuff personal, and they did it for that global reason. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious if you can tell us what the book urges us to think about.
Okay. I think there's a couple of things that the book will spark. So if you are a woman who happens to be self-funding, you're going to feel very sisterly to this project, from the sense of whatever you experience as a solopreneur or a entrepreneur or an entrepreneur or even a leader, because by nature, those are all very they're private silos, right? There's lots that goes on. You're holding containment, you know, you're holding the space. You're the one that's doing multiple hats and tasks, even if you're addressing those hats and tasks with other people. So I think you're going to feel a sisterhood and a kinship to the evolution of everyone's business and what they talk about. So that's going to feel really incredible. I think the other thing that's going to feel incredible is being part of history, even when by reading it, because as a woman, when you read it, you go, oh yeah, it's kind of like what we just talked about, Helen Reddy. You're like, oh yeah. And oh yeah. Oh, and that's cool. And I never knew women did that. Like, this is not, I mean, I might age myself here, but when I left high school, you know, some of the options there were like, oh, well, you could be I mean, honestly, I could list them on one hand on what the predominant roles that, you know, I could go out there. But when you look in this book and you're like, there's women that are, what? Like, what is that job? They're coaching. Like, there's literally one woman that her whole clientele, it's all about, and she's hired in major corporations and her whole focus is happiness. Now, never Would you ever think someone can make a considerable living and a sustaining living with the core value of the teaching and coaching being ultimate happiness? And so, but I mean, that's one example. And then you've got someone else who's in the arts, and you've got someone like, there's just such a vast, I think it really opens your mind. Your inspiration is like, there's something that switches that doesn't just make you feel like I can do it too, but it was like, I never knew that was possible. I never knew that was possible. I never knew that was possible. Some women have shared some things that they've overcome or gone through, or they're at stages of doing that. And so I think you feel inspired and motivated, but I think you also, for me, what I feel, and look at, I've met every single speaker and I've met every single woman, like what a get to job, right? As tiring as it's been, it's like, I get to sit in front of these women. It never, I think, stops surprising me the depth of character that women will reach into and grab to achieve what it is that they feel that they're impassioned to do. And you will feel and see that passion throughout, as well as I think you'll experience a collective of individuals. And so it's a very collaborative, there's no, like, you'll see, it's not a hierarchy. It's a level playing field. Even when you have a celebrity on one page who, you know, Lainey, who just came back from organizing Prince Albert's, you know, polo match in Monaco at the same time as Cannes Film Festival, to a woman on another page who's in a completely different sector at a completely different place in her business. She could be brand new, and you will see the collaboration between the two. It just spreads through the pages. So you'll be inspired, you'll be motivated, you'll be educated. And you'll be surprised. You'll really be surprised.
Yeah. The way that you painted that was so kaleidoscopic, you know? And I think there's this tendency to sort of homogenize women into that singular word and not be able to see the multiplicitousness of our individuality under a collective and shared experience, mm-hmm. right? And so I really liked how you explained, you know, that there is this collective understanding, but, you know, through that, or because of that, in light of that, mm-hmm. you can also see how, you know, each of us individually, you know, steps up to accept the mission, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You talk about the connection between sisterhood and women's empowerment. Can you talk a little bit more about what does that mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, depending where you are, like, depending on who's listening to this, this may resonate stronger for some than others. But I really believe, so when you talk about women's empowerment, right, for me, that's a lot about accessibility. It's a lot about global education. It's a lot about taking you from what you know now to what you need to know, and making sure that those doors are accessible. And that empowers you as a fill in the blank. As a student, as a mother, as a sister, as a daughter, as someone taking care of their aging parents, as a da, 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 da. When I think about empowerment, I mean, give me something to empower what it is that I need and how I can serve. So I find empowerment very, you know, servant leadership in alignment of servant leadership. When I think about sisterhood, I think about how sisterhood has really changed. And I think that how there has been a massive movement around true collaboration. I always talk about how we came out of the pantsuit era. I believe that I saw and experienced and saw it, particularly in my mother's generation, where there was confusion, right? There was confusion around you could have it all, but what did that look like? And having it all sometimes just meant you were more tired because now you were juggling more things. It wasn't that anything was taken off your plate. It was that you were given more accessibility on top of what you were already doing. Okay. And then there was this availability. There was this window where you too could be you know, and list all the careers that we're now. And, you know, we see pictures of the first woman in a legal class. And, you know, the movie where, you know, when someone walked into law school, it was in the US and, you know, there were books thrown at her and people didn't want her there. There was all this revolution around you too could achieve more. The doors were open and it was accessible. But again, it meant more to do. And I believe there was a time where fighting our way to the top meant fighting our way to the top, no matter who was in our way per se. We had to really fight for our solo piece to be recognized. You know, the book that I talked about where we have women that were passed over over 100 years, some of those women were to win the Nobel Peace Prize, but they couldn't because they weren't a man. So the title went to the men in the lab and what have you. And so there was this time and era where I call it the pantsuit era, where we were having to fight our way, which means we were also fighting each other. And then I see this amazing sisterhood where there's a collaboration where you could both, you're like, you're going for CEO of that company. Like you're going for CEO of Pepsi. I'm going for CEO of Coke. Sister, let's go have dinner. And I think that the sisterhood has really moved. I mean, I can tell you, I see it within our community, and I am sure we're not the only community that's like, oh, you want to be on a number one bestselling? Let me tell you how I did mine. Oh, you want to get on a stage? Let me introduce you to Deb, because it just rocked my business. There's no more this barrier of having to fight anybody to get to where we are, to have our ownership and to have our rights and have our education and all those things. I believe is now melding. And I call it, a lot of what I speak upon is, I believe what we're doing when we do projects like this is healing the sister wound. It's healing the sister wound, because just by nature and just by circumstance and just by sometimes culture or environmental, we've had to survive. And that meant we had to do what it took to rise above whatever that looked like. And now that is really getting flipped on its head. We see it all the time. I don't know if that answered your question, but that's kind of how I see those two as different. And they serve each other, but I kind of see them as different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see them as different as well, and also serving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they both have their challenges in how we actually achieve those things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because we still really live under the white supremacist cis male myth that is the better way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to compete other than to collaborate and to but you know, I mean, that's really, it's so, you know, it's so gradual. It's so gradual. That's so gradual, that way of thinking and shifting.
What's been your own biggest takeaway from this project?
Well, let me tell you. I think I told you when I walked across the bridge, I had this download of walking a marathon across Ireland, which in 2026, you can interview me because, you know, that hasn't gone away, to support the music industry. And so there's multiple different things that I have learned being on this side of the curtain. I call it, like, you know, being backstage and also when I need to be front stage. One of the biggest takeaways that I believe is probably the significance of the value of what women do and how we can dismiss our own value. I always say that if I pay you what you're worth, then you can afford to pay what I'm worth. Meaning that when we start, right, like when we start doing value to value, that we will rise stronger. That women tend to think, how can I cut corners? How can I do this? I can't afford to do this. I can't manage. I can't this. And I think that watching women step up, like really step up, and what happens for a woman when she says yes, but she's scared, or she says yes and she can't afford it, or she says yes and she doesn't know how it's going to work out, or she says yes. And so I think because I get to watch that, and I myself have been pushed through quite a multiple levels in the last, this is probably 3 years project. I said to a colleague the other day who's also in what we call the stretch of significance. That was our nice way to put it. I said, how's it going? She's like, I'm like in it, right? She goes, yeah, I'm like, I'm in it too. I feel like I have been rewired neuronally. I really do. I feel like I had to force and push myself through all my own limiting beliefs. That's kind of the word that it's called, but can I really, you know, and there was days that I got up and I just did it because I was in the project and it was too far to go back. And then there's days that I got up and I felt completely empowered all day long and just accepting my process through this, that you couldn't see it coming. I mean, we're going to be in the Emmys hand gifting these books out at the celebrity gifting lounge around the pool. You can't foresee those things. You could, you know, maybe that was part of your dream, but what does that take? Who does Deb need to be able to hold this kind of container and be in that environment? And one, does it work? And two, should it work? All of those internal and then being responsible for the container has been probably life altering. So yeah, I learned a lot about myself and I learned a lot about the strength of women and just massive infrastructure, just massive infrastructure. We have massive infrastructure. Yeah. Thank goodness. My background is in reverse engineering and top performance and strategic planning for businesses. And I don't think the universe would have thrown this at somebody that didn't have some kind of ability to stretch, but you know, yeah, I'll leave it there.
Yeah. I love that term, stretch of significance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm adopting that because we often feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. And especially when we're called to accept a mission that feels like, yeah, why me? You know, how could it possibly be little old me? And, you know, when you talked about that value piece too, and how, you know, we've really been undervalued as women and our labor for sure for so long that it's really hard to identify where we place that, and it feels kind of at odds with that internal dialogue that says, well, no, I'm not worth it, or you know, I'm all that not enoughness that's so common, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even what I say for myself, like the reflections back and how collectively we can, that's why stand up, speak up and show up. Yes, you, because some women they're like, but I'm not there. I'm not her. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't have the dots behind my name. That. So you're like, if you were attracted to this conversation, there's something here. And then to what I call my maven sisters, I've done that. That's fine. I'm like, get your butt back on that stage and tell women how you got to where you're going. Don't give me this. The next generation can pull it off. So you get back on stage, and it's very interesting, that whole concept of value and where we are and just all of it. So yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. You've talked a little bit about this through, you know, other answers to the questions, but is there something that you can identify as the hope that your audience or your readers take away from reading the book? You know, mm-hmm. if there was the sort of one little nugget or two little nuggets, what would those be?
I'm going to answer that in two parts, because the reason why I had every single woman, I said, okay, you've told your story, two words. Now I got to tell you, that was tough for my sisters, not three, not six. And I go, I'm putting two words on the bottom right-hand corner of your page, so anyone can pick up this book and have the most powerful flip book, you know, eat chocolate, drink champagne, say yes, say no, pray more, pray less, whatever, you know, summarize for everyone. Two words that if you were to never see anyone again, instead of get well, take care, fly safe, what are they? And so women can imprint themselves by this. So really taking it down to two words is so that someone can get some impression. But honestly, it's bravery. It's bravery. So it is a book of gumption, but courage is something, bravery is something else. For me, courage is the I'm going to, bravery is I'm going to see it through. Bravery is no matter what. Bravery is I'm in 100%. I think courage is what you muster to be brave. So I would like people to read this book and walk away with a stronger sense of self-bravery. It might have been that they were reading about someone else, but they will inevitably pick up and feel stronger, walk different, say yes more, you know, and they will have that. They can do it. I can do it. As Hallmark card as that sounds, like, have we not heard that 1,000 times already? But they will have a different sense of self. And this is what I say. I say that after reading something of this nature, or being part of that energy, there's, you know, you're going to go and you're going to go do something that scares you, or you're going to go to that door handle that you're going to go into, you know, the person above you, or you're a leader, or your boss, or your whatever, and you're going to go in for ask for a holiday or a break, or you're going to go ask for more money, or you're going to go ask for a new division or whatever, and you feel nervous, and all of a sudden you're going to feel a whoosh at your back. And it's because you're going to have the essence and bravery of reading multiple stories, not just ours. I mean, there's 262, have at her, you know what I mean? But it'll take you a little while to get through it. But all of a sudden you're not going to know where it came from. And people probably, it happens to them today. You're like, well, I don't know where that came from, but I went and I got what I needed. I got what I wanted. I got what was fair. I asked for what was right. I put a boundary down. I said no to my kid for the first time. Oh my gosh, what are they going to do? You know, like the fear was lessened. That's the subtle impression. That is the subtle benefit. That's the not so obvious that we want for people after they read something like this. Really, so for me, it's bravery. Yeah.
Amazing. I need to read this book.
Well, I'm going to see you soon, and you can.
How can people get their hands on a copy?
Absolutely. So look, we're in every country. It's we've just chose to go through Amazon because it makes it easier. People can use their, you know, whatever their shipping. And so Amazon.ca, Amazon.com, Amazon, every country in any country that you're in. June 6th in Vancouver, we are having its first formal live book launch. We have celebration of things for people to do for a week, but June 6th in Vancouver at Bimini's, you can come and see the book, meet some of the speakers that are flying in, see some of the awards that are happening at Bimini's 7 till 10, and people can contact me and I can get them the event ticket to that. And then why not? August 18th, we will be doing a book launch in Ireland. September 12th, we will be at the Emmys. We will be in LA, California. You can come and meet us there. October 19th, I'll be doing some speaking and celebrating and book launching in Dallas. And then there might be something else before the end of the year, but that's to be said. So, but get your copies today off Amazon. We would so appreciate that. Show support for the project, the ongoing project. And then if people want to continue to hear these women talk and speak and share, or you are a woman that wants to speak and talk and share, then you can come join us and we will start the summits again as of August 2024. Yeah, so just around the corner.
Okay. I'm just going to mention that I can also post the links to the things that Deb and I have been talking about here on the show page, where the archive of this show will be posted up. So, you know, if you're looking to find that as an easy click, the hot link will be there. Well, that's all I've got, Deb. I thank you so much for joining me this morning. I know you've got, another song to sort of take us out with that I'll have you introduce, but I just wanted to say thank you for your time and congratulations on your project. Mission accomplished and mission accepted.
Yes, right. There's going to be so many more stories. We should come back every 6 months or something and I'll give you the update. But the song, I mean, it would not, you know, look, we got to celebrate our Canadian sisters. So the song that, you know, to close us out with is a song called Heart, and it's called Love Alive. And it happens to be the favorite song to a very, very cool woman in music from Vancouver, who is Rona Goodman. And Rona is just an incredible rock and roll guitarist who just does it service. And she was inspired by Nancy and Nancy Wilson of Heart. And in honor of my Canadian sisters, and as we speak, Heart has just gone out on tour. They are touring with Cheap Trick, which is incredible. And they will land here in Vancouver December 3rd. So I think that's amazing. And, you know, they went to high school just up the street from where I did. And I mean, they just hit the global stage and they've just done some amazing, amazing work. And I think they put Canada on the map. So out of respect for what Heart's done and out of respect for Rona Goodman, who's just been a catalyst for people in music. I mean, she's a big producer of the Merritt Music Festival. People don't know that, but I think that this will be a good one to close out with.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Deb.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. I want to thank my guest also, Deb Drummond, for taking time out to share the project Mission Accepted. And of course, stay tuned for Democracy Now!, which is coming up at 11. See you next time.